From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A major expansion of Florida's medical marijuana program goes into effect tomorrow. Amendment 2 greatly expands what illnesses a doctor can recommend cannabis for, and it sets into motion new laws. But Florida's medical marijuana laws are still being written. As Florida lawmakers grapple with how to implement Amendment 2, local policymakers are putting in place rules of their own. Coming up, we talk with a doctor with a new clinic in Venice focused on medical cannabis. And we'll talk with a local council member who voted to wait a year before allowing permits for dispensaries in the village of Estero. Plus, they have captivated the world, two expectant parents in a nest far above North Fort Myers. We're talking about the eagles Harriet and her mate M15, who have doted on their two eggs since November. One hatched over the weekend. We'll talk with the people who set up that camera, and we'll talk with a wildlife rehabilitation expert about what we're learning from this bird's eye view. But first, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Eagles have been a symbol of power and strength since ancient Rome, so it's no wonder people are transfixed by a voyeuristic opportunity to glimpse into the private lives of a pair of these majestic birds. The North Fort Myers Eagle Cam is trained on the nest of Harriet and her mate M15, where they are currently waiting on a second egg to hatch. The first one hatched on Saturday. That nest is on the property of the Pritchett family, and we have Jenny Pritchett McSpadden in the studio today for a status update. Thank you for joining us today, Jenny.
No, thank you for having me. This is great.
It's so fun. Also joining us today is Rachel Walsh, who is a wildlife rehabilitator with the Clinic for the Rehabilitation of Wildlife, also known as CROW. It's where Harriet's first mate was taken when he was found injured, also where one of the eaglets was treated after being entangled in some fishing line. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're talking about the now world-famous Eagle Cam in North Fort Myers. Are you watching and waiting for the second eaglet to hatch like the rest of us are? Do you have any questions about them? Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GC Talk, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Jenny, this camera is affixed to a tree on your property, and it's now a phenomenon. When I say world famous, it's no exaggeration. People are watching this in China, Italy, the UK, all over America. Did you think it would become this big?
Yeah, you said world famous, and I had to chuckle a little because it still surprises me whenever anyone says that. I think the first season that we did this, you know, we thought it would be fun to maybe get like 10 followers or viewers, and then we got 100 and then 1,000, and it really has just blown up from there. So I think every day we kind of pinch ourselves and go, did this really just happen? And these past 7 days the pending arrival of E9 has just been surreal. I think we've had our largest traffic to date, and it literally went viral and went global.
So. It really did. Every minute I look at it, 60,000 people currently watching. I have it up over here on my thing, it's unbelievable. Harriet's on the nest right now.
Yep.
I love it. I can't stop watching it. I wasted so much time today. You're going to get bills for my productivity loss.
No, we get that a lot, actually. People saying thanks for decreasing our productivity at work. But it's really, people are just fascinated. I think it really gives people a glimpse into a life that they don't know anything about. And to be able to provide this educational opportunity and to be able to watch this cute little eaglet be born into the world live is really, I think, special for anyone.
I think it's great. On the last day of the year, too, that was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
One of the first questions that everybody seems to ask, and I know you've answered it a billion times, M15 is what the male eagle is being referred to, which stands for male in the year 2015 when he came in on the scene.
Correct.
Will he ever have an actual name?
You know, that's his name. So I have to say no. That's his name that we gave him last year, and we think it's a great name. We think, you know, we'd started out with Harriet and Ozzy, both human names, and then we had some human names for the first eaglets, the first eaglet clutch back in, I think, 2002, was it? 12 now? That was Hope and Honor. And I think we had a little bit of backlash in terms of people just becoming a little bit too emotionally attached to the two eaglets they were watching. And we think it was a little bit due to that, the human name. So we've kind of taken a more observation research approach and are going to stick with M15.
Keeping it scientific?
Exactly.
Well, you said somebody emailed you yelling at you because you didn't go out there with an umbrella when it was raining one day.
Yeah, we get some really, really passionate fans and viewers.
That's so sweet how you say that.
Yeah.
Really passionate.
And they truly are just really worried about the eaglet. And I think that's when we put some text on our website that said, "This is the this is wildlife. This is nature in the raw. If you can't handle it, then you need to separate yourself and realize that we're not going to step in. We're only going to step in when we need to, and the eaglet is harmed by something that's man-made. But anything in the nature and I guess what would you say the real world,
natural world,
natural world. They're not going to." We're not going to intervene.
Well, Rachel Walsh with Crow, that brings us into an issue that's kind of hard to keep in perspective sometimes. These are wild animals. They face danger every day. And I know when I'm watching it, I'm looking at the little guy trying to get out of the shell, and I just want to reach in there and help him get the shell off of him. But, of course, I would get attacked by a giant raptor. What do you say about the temptation to intervene and help nature along?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, that's what we do is we help wildlife, and it's – you know, you want to help every chance that you get. But the thing is like you said, you have to let nature take its course and do its thing. And it's not always the most pleasant sight. You know, it's maybe not be the best outcome, but, you know, there's a reason for it. There's, you know, we want to do our jobs, but, you know, you also, again, have to let nature just take its course and do its thing.
And sure. Probably advise against pulling the shell off the little baby.
Yes.
Although I do think many people were doing the exact same thing you were, saying, come on, little guy, you can make it out.
And cheering for him.
Yes.
You can do it, buddy. Come on. So we have the current status. We have one that was born, and then we have another little egg in there.
That's correct.
Well, not so little, I guess. What's the status on that egg? Do
we
know?
So both eggs have reached their incubation or average incubation period, which was 30 to 35 days. So right now, our hatch watch countdown clock is both at zero. We have the one egg we will eventually get to updating that time. But then the second egg, which we think is egg number one, which was the first one laid, it's still in the window of possibility to hatch. So we're going to keep an eye out on it and hope for the best here over the next couple of days. But if it doesn't hatch, it will probably just become part of the nest and be either covered up with nesting material or kind of just kind of like we've seen with past eaglet deaths in the nest, that just kind of naturally put into the nest.
Really? That's what happens. So at what point do you kind of give up? Do you know, Rachel? I mean,
no, not really. I mean, like you said, they kind of max their incubation period. And honestly, I think if it was to hatch, it would hatch by now. And that egg went through a lot. I mean, it was kind of buried in the nest as well. And, you know, with avian eggs, you have to rotate them so many times.
Yeah,
and so the chances of it hatching are slim. But, you know, Jenny and I were talking about this before we came on air. It kind of gives E9 a better chance of surviving. You know, now the parents can feed him more. They can protect him more. So it's kind of, I mean, again, it's not the outcome that everyone wants, but I think it might be the best thing in the end that there is maybe just one eaglet.
All right. Well, we have a phone call coming in from Rose on Marco Island. Rose, what would you like to ask?
Good afternoon, and thanks so much for this program. We all love the eagles, and
thanks,
I was just
Rose.
Wondering, while E8 was in after his rescue and rehab this summer, if there's any in particular reason that they did not do a DNA test. Did they just not feel it was necessary, or was it a cost issue? Just curious about that.
Yeah, and that's a great question. We got that question a lot when we released him. You know, why aren't we sexing him? Why aren't we figuring out if he's male or female? There was no reason for it. We would have to get permission from the state to do that, and we didn't. It's a very invasive procedure to figure out if they're male or female. Or even just doing like DNA sampling. So there was no reason. You know, we did our job back at Crow. We got this animal back out into the wild. He's healthy. You know, no one's really has sighted him. And I think no news is actually good news. But they're just, you know, we were just happy to get it out, whether it was male or female. There was just, again, no scientific, I guess, reason for it.
Do the, like for E8, you haven't seen him lately. Do they normally live around their parents, or they usually take off somewhere else?
Yeah, eaglets do. They fledge the nest and fledge the nest area, and they will return to their birthplace usually like a year or two or three after they have fledged. But the eagles, once they have finished raising their young, will not welcome them back. So it's not like they could be neighbors or we use the same nest. No.
No Thanksgiving with leftover fish parts.
And just to clarify, I know Rose asked a great question, and many listeners might not know that you can only find out the sex of an eagle through genetic testing, which is also very costly, but then not until they reach mature age and are able to mate.
Oh, you don't know until they're older anyway?
Yes.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting. We have a phone call coming in from Connecticut. Lisa, what would you like to ask?
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
Hi.
You're good. Really, I just wanted to compliment the Virginia and the Pritchard family on what they're doing. It's amazing. It blows everybody's mind that it's gone international at this point. Harriet and M15 are wonderful. This is so much fun. And I just wanted to point out how absolutely perfect the environment of the Pritchard Residence Ranch is for them. It's just amazing. There's ponds, trees, pastures. The hunting must be great. I think it's amazing that Harriet and M15 came back and rebuilt the nest in that very tree. And my one question is actually about the, do they call them Virginia snag trees, the wooden trees that they sort of perch in nearby the nesting tree? What would happen if they fall down? They're so perfect. Would anyone, you know, try to rebuild something like that for them? Because this area is just perfect for
so
the eagles.
What happens if a tree does fall down?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually it's been a worry of ours as well, just because the trees, there's a few there that are a little bit taller that have died and been struck by lightning or foundation has just changed a little. So we had a camera in one of those older trees last season, and we had to move it this season just because we couldn't get up into the tree because it was so unstable. So that's, you know, I think we'd probably have them, we wouldn't be able to repair them or anything, but there are other trees in the area that I think they would probably utilize more if some of those trees did fall.
Well, this wasn't Harriet's original tree, right? Didn't she used to live somewhere else, like
that's
right across
correct.
The street?
They used to live on the other side of Bayshore Road, and that tree, I think, was lost in a fire. And so they had to relocate and found our tree on the opposite side, on the north side of Bayshore. So that was in 2006. So they've made their nest here. And the nest actually completely fell at the end of last season. And we did not think they would return. So we thought, yeah, what a great, you know, that was a great opportunity. And then 2-3 weeks before nesting season started, they were back and had fully rebuilt the nest into something bigger and stronger, as you can see today.
It looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good sized nest.
It is. It's 60. We think it's about 8 feet wide, maybe in between 6 and 8 feet.
8 feet wide. That's big.
It's a big nest.
It's kind of hard to get perspective. But one time a little tiny bird landed, you know, kind of on a branch near it. And I was like, wow, those eagles are really big.
Yes. And actually, Dr. Barron, who is the head doctor at Crow.
Yeah.
She
head director.
Had to put E8 back into the nest last year. And that gave a good perspective of how big the size is.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you also about nesting materials. So if the tree does fall, if somebody built a fake post, like they sometimes do that for the egret, not the egrets, the ospreys around here, do eagles ever get on any of those? Are they only do trees?
I personally have never seen an eagle around an osprey's nest or like the makeshift, you know, fake osprey nest that people will build for them. So I think they might just be a little too small for the eagles. I think they want something larger and wider and bigger because they are bigger birds.
Well, 8 feet's big.
Yeah, that's a big nest. I mean, osprey nests are big, but nothing like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you see a little osprey and you're like, oh, it's like a cute mini eagle.
Yeah. Yes.
And actually, we've gotten that question a lot. Would we ever, if the nest fell afterwards, if we would build the platform to kind of stabilize the area. And we, again, go back to we do not want to interfere with natural nature and wildlife. So we probably would not do that and would just hope to know that they would find a much better, stronger place to build that nest.
Something suitable.
Yeah.
We are talking about the North Fort Myers Eagle Cam with our guest Jenny Pritchett McSpadden, who put the camera up with her family, and with Rachel Walsh with Crow, our wildlife rehabilitation clinic locally. How much time have you spent watching the eagle family grow? If you would like to admit that, give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So when I look at the nest and I see all these fish parts that are sitting there baking in 85-degree sun, I'm going, as a mother, no, that's probably not okay. But I'm guessing nature, they can handle that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a rehabber and seeing all different types of birds come in, I mean, eagles are they're beautiful. But I call them beautiful vultures. I mean, they really will eat everything, live prey, dead prey. So, you know, when we get our eagles in, you know, they get a variety of food for sure, whether it's, you know, the greatest food quality or not, but they'll go after anything. Yeah.
Are the eagles aware that the camera's there? I don't know if animals are ever self-aware, but I mean, is the eagle, do they ever look at the camera or do they hear it moving when it zooms in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know they know it's there because it's physically something that is there and they've landed on it in years past. But I don't think they know what it is. Before we put the cams in the nest, we test them extensively to make sure that there's no sound, noise, or light emitting from them. And that is definitely very important to us to make sure that we don't do anything that would disturb that nest area.
Have they ever looked straight into the camera and you look at the monitor and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, that has actually happened before when they were tracking, I think, other animals around the area and they're looking straight into the camera and you're like, yep, that just happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an intimidating look.
Oh, definitely. They're very intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, they are a predator and what, top of the food chain, correct? Or up there?
Yeah.
They don't have any. The only predator that they have, you said, was owls?
The great horned owl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. We actually have one of those in our clinic right now.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So do they just go after the young or what are the...
They'll go after definitely the young for sure. But if the owl's feeling threatened at all, I mean, they'll definitely go for the males and females, adults. But usually they'll try and go for the young.
The owls are pretty scrappy. They'll wait until the eagle's sleeping or in the dead of the night because they have better vision, I think, at night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually happened last year and why E8 was back at Crow because he got attacked by the great horned owl after the nest fell and they weren't as protected as before.
Oh, the nest kind of fell apart and so he was left vulnerable and the owl got there.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, I just hate to see that, but, you know, you were there to help. And then, the other one got stuck with fishing line. How did that happen?
That was actually E8 as well.
Oh, that poor guy. Couldn't get a break.
It was pretty much, I mean, it was soon after he hatched. He had a fishing line wrapped around his leg, and we actually only got permission to go up there because it was a man-made monofilament. If it was something natural, we wouldn't be able to interfere. You know, again, let nature take its course. But because it was man-made monofilament fishing line, we were able to climb up there. Dr. Barron, we got him out and brought him to the hospital. And I mean, his foot was so swollen. And Dr. Barron even said if we weren't able to get to him, you know, probably that day or the next day, he might have been dead. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was with us for a while. Swelling went down. And then Dr. Barron actually climbed back up the ladder and put him back in the nest.
So, okay, maybe it's folklore, but when I was growing up, I was always told if you see a baby anything, don't touch it because the animal's going to be able to sense your smell and it's going to reject it.
That's a huge myth. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, and we actually get that question all the time. You know, people call in, you know, I'm afraid to put this animal back into the nest because, you know, the mother is going to sense my smell. It's a myth. And a lot of times we do get baby birds and baby mammals for just pure abduction. You know, they don't think that the mother is around. And again, they're afraid to touch it because of the scent. So they bring them right to us when really, you know, even if the baby falls from the nest, if it looks overall healthy, that mother's still protecting it, coming down to feed it. So she's, you know, she's doing her job. But yeah, that's a myth, actually.
Good to know. Good to know.
And I think doesn't Crow have a good program? Like, if you care,
leave it there. Yes. If you care, leave it there.
Really?
Yes.
So if you see an injured eagle that's wrapped up in fishing line, what do you do?
That would be something that you would call us.
Okay.
And, you know, on radio and a lot of people listening right now, when we do get calls in, especially about birds, I mean, right now it's season for, you know, tourists, so a lot of fishing hook and line, for instance. And our biggest issue is when people call in saying there's, you know, fishing line wrapped around this bird's leg. Well, our first question is, can it fly? Because unfortunately, if it can fly, it's really hard for us to catch them. But yeah, if the animal's injured, absolutely call us. But if you don't see any injuries, you're just concerned that maybe there's not a mother around, that's when we kind of say, if you care, leave it there. Because she's still probably coming down and protecting it.
But probably don't try to pick up an eagle that you think might be injured. I mean, if it's...
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They can be pretty fierce animals for sure. So that's when you would call us and we would get people who are trained and experienced to handle the bird.
Yeah.
At one point, I got a close-up on that talon. I was like, wow, that is...
No, and that's the great thing about Crow. They have volunteers all over the county that can quickly come out and help you if you have an injured or see an animal that needs some help.
Yes.
How interesting has this been for you as somebody that works with birds all the time to be able to see this close up?
It's awesome. I mean, I actually was telling Jenny before we came in that, you know, I just moved down here from Ohio about 3 years ago. I never heard of this eagle camera before. And I kind of chuckled when Ozzy was coming in because we were told that this famous bald eagle was coming into our clinic, and I had no idea what people were talking about. And when he came to us, and just the amount of support and donations, I mean, we're a nonprofit organization. So the fact that, you know, our fan base before Ozzy was like 3,000 likes or fans on Facebook, now we're at 25,000. So it's insane how these two eagles just brought so much awareness to our organization and, you know, the people that support it. So it's pretty crazy to see how much Crow has grown and gotten a lot more popular.
Yeah. Well, so popular. We have a call coming in right now from Texas. Elizabeth from Texas, what do you have to say?
Hi there. I'm curious if when M15 buried the egg, I know you had a cold front that had come through, or in Florida, a cool front. And I'm curious if that could in any way affect the incubation of egg number one.
Yeah, that's an interesting point she brings up. She's talking about the egg that you said hadn't been turned. And we've had a couple – ever since we talked about that egg that hasn't hatched, we've had a couple people tweeting and Facebooking wondering what's going on with that second egg. We already did talk about it, but can you go over what happened again?
Yeah, so from what I pretty much saw and heard about the nest – or the egg, I'm sorry, it fell a little further down on the nest and kind of got buried. So I don't know – and you may know more about this, Jenny, than I did, but – it was kind of lost for a little bit.
Yeah,
so
there was probably like about a half. So Harriet laid the egg and incubated it, and then M15 came in that same day, and it looked everything was being normal. But then we noticed M started covering up the egg with material, and after a while actually did bury it. We didn't see it, so we knew that was happening, and that's when we started to speculate on is something wrong with the egg? Is it not viable? And then, so that's kind of what we came to after 2 or 3 days of not seeing it. And then the second egg was laid, and they brought it back. They unburied it, and they both started incubating both eggs. So, and like Rachel mentioned before, you definitely have to make sure that temperature and the rotating of the eggs is happening. So, you know, the eagles know more than us. So,
how sensitive are they to temperature, though? Because I don't remember it getting that cool.
No, and I don't think the temperature really had anything to do with it there. I'm no eagle expert, but I really think that they know what they're doing, and they've lived in this climate for a long, long time, so they would know best.
You're probably more of an eagle expert than most, though.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know anything about eagles before?
I actually did not, no. And I actually, that's a great point. I didn't even know about Crow before this started, and I've just found through just working with them through E8 and Ozzy, just what their cause and their mission is all about. And I think that's been most beneficial for us as well, just because they're in our backyard and we had no idea. And now they're just a great resource.
And you mentioned that you have like an army of volunteers who help with updating statuses, responding to emails, and all of that.
Yes, yes. So when we started the Eagle Cam, we really didn't know what we were getting into. We'd seen other Eagle Cams in the past and had kind of seen what they've done. And we went live and realized really quickly that we did need more than just two you know, my brother and I and my siblings working on it. And luckily this great team of volunteers kind of has formed over the last couple of years, and we've been able to help answer questions and educate viewers on what's happening and really get everyone involved and get the most out of the experience.
Well, this has been so fun talking about this. I could keep talking forever, but we're about out of time. Meanwhile, we're just going to keep an eyeball on that second egg, well, which was actually the first egg.
Yep.
And maybe something will happen. But it's the longer time passes, the less likely is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eyeball on that. Well, we have to leave it there today.
No, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for coming in, Jenny and Rachel. It's been so fun to learn a little bit more about these guys that I've been watching all day. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chin Kui, with technical help from A.J. Leonard. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, being diagnosed with cancer is the beginning of a life change few can understand. Even the simplest things, like getting to and from a doctor's appointment or getting something to eat, can become huge challenges. We'll talk with a woman who's working to get cancer patients rides and with a local chef who specializes in healthy home-delivered meals. Plus, local author Glenn Miller features some local landmarks in his debut novel, Grabmore. He'll be in the studio to talk about what inspired his comedic caper tomorrow at 1. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.